Welcome to the Veterinary Project Podcast, episode 067.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, here are the hosts of the Veterinary Project Podcast, Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light.
Welcome back to the Veterinary Project Podcast. Dr. Michael Bug, Dr. Jonathan Light, we've been down this road before. Welcome back. Dr. Bug, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty well, Jonathan. We got Riley's home from daycare sick with just a mild cough. It's more of a precautionary thing, but we may get interrupted. Who knows? We have a very active two-year-old running around.
Isn't that fun time? So she's running around, she's got a lot of action, and you get to record a podcast.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Those are the curveballs. You got your day scheduled, and then a two-year-old can really blow that apart.
Oh, yeah, and she's not listening to anything.
It's very hard to reason with her.
Is there any reasoning with her yet? Is that possible?
Oh, no. Well, no, I don't think so. But you can distract, right? Like, yes, you can just suggest new ideas that are amazing to her because it's like, oh, let's do that.
Nice. And get her going on a different route really quickly. Squirrel. Oh,
yeah. Kind of like you and me still.
Completely. Well, we've got some exciting things happening in the veterinary project world. I am not going to give anything away, but we've been making some action happen, haven't we?
I guess so. You got me curious. I'm kind of like, oh, what are we doing?
But I like it. I just think there's lots of discussions happening in the backgrounds around partnerships, around sponsorship, around really doing what we wanted to do with the veterinary project with outside of the podcast, really informing a community that we feel strongly about. And to this point in COVID, we've not been able to meet in person. We talked about some initial really, really loose plans for 2022. And I'm excited to see where this next brainstorming session goes.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet up in person with people that I've only met online and on Instagram.
Isn't that the case? Well, for today's podcast, at Mike's interest over the last couple of weeks, he's like, Jonathan, we need to get another operational podcast going and talk a little bit more about clinic operations. So this week's episode is all around the Christmas schedule. And I think that's a great topic. And when Mike brought it up, this is something that can cause a lot of consternation in your own clinic. And it is also something that varies so widely between clinics as to how they handle Christmas schedules. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, there's heightened emotions around it, you know, as opposed to just, you know, the July, like Canada Day or Independence Day, you know, like summer stats. Christmas just seems, the dial is turned up a little bit more.
That's correct. So in classic fashion as well too, by the time this podcast comes out, we're already well into the Christmas season.
Yeah, if you haven't planned it by the time you hear this podcast, you're screwed. We probably should have been a little more on the ball, but this will serve you well for December of 2022.
Excellent. And it's so true. So our goal today, talk a little bit about what this looks like from both an employer as well as an employee basis. Mike has a couple of great stories from an employee basis, and I'd love to just open up the drapes a little bit about what it looks like from an employer status or standpoint when we are trying to plan Christmas and the Christmas time schedule.
Yeah. So yeah, as Jonathan said, I can really only give you the viewpoint of an associate veterinarian, because I have not been in ownership or operations management role. So I'm one of the vets that's trying to navigate the Christmas schedule, you know, as fairly as possible with the other associate vets And everyone has their own sort of wants, desires, and it's all give and take. So, I'm quite fortunate in that I didn't ever find myself in a clinic situation, you know, with like, we'll say quote unquote, like a bully associate vet. I always worked with other associates that, you know, we always could come to an agreement and be reasonable. And it was give and take. You certainly didn't get everything you wanted, but you got a little bit of what you wanted. So, two stories I wanted to share on opposite ends of the spectrum to help our listener maybe have different perspectives on this. So number one is opportunity cost. And I tell this story actually in my book. I was reflecting on it. And this one is probably one of the larger regrets of my veterinary career. And I was working at a clinic. It was the Christmas season. And how we were dividing Christmas was there was kind of two main vets there. And I was one of them. I was getting a few days off leading up to Christmas. And then I was back for Boxing Day. And then I would take over between Christmas and New Year. So that's how me and the other vet had structured it. I was the only vet at that clinic that did orthopedic surgeries. And sure enough, we had a case that came in on the last day I was there before my Christmas holidays that needed to go into surgery. And it was late in the day, if I'm remembering correctly. So anyway, we moved the schedule around and they kind of convinced me, hey, come in tomorrow. But on the other side, Rosalie and I, this is before Riley, were supposed to be heading out of town to go see family for Christmas. But of course, I agreed and I was kind of like, okay, I'll come in. We'll do this orthopedic surgery. Get home and I break that news to Rosalie. And, you know, rightfully so, she was pretty upset by it because we only have a 4-day sort of Christmas holiday and I just took one of those away. So when I talk about opportunity cost, you know, I was doing what I thought was right for the client, you know, and I was helping a lot of people out, but I really put Rosalie in an unfair situation. And that's the opportunity cost, right? If this was some random day in the year and it's a rainy, you know, Sunday afternoon and I have to go in and do an orthopedic surgery and I'm doing nothing else, the consequences aren't quite so big, right? So it's like, you know, you have to look at what you're sacrificing. And I know everyone knows this. I'm just trying to share that story, you know, because there's a lot more emotions behind that when you give up going and visiting family. So that was one of my biggest regrets, you know, around Christmas holiday scheduling. I'll let you chime in if you have anything you want to add on that.
No, I think that's a great, and it kind of comes into some of that employer setup for the Christmas schedule to try and minimize the chance of those events happening. And the first is, in terms of timing, you guys, between the two of you, had set up your schedule, correct? And the basis of who's going to take what. One of my comments in terms of Christmas scheduling is to understand from an employer basis that you're not going to have all hands on deck. We know that more employees are going to tend to take additional time off as they're apt to do and able to do around the Christmas season. Block it out. Just assume that you're not going to be on full power. And when some of those cases come in, we have to have a little more patience directed towards our clients, but then our clients back to us. We're not going to be as quick on the ball. We're not going to be as efficient for getting them in. And there are some times where, in the examples of this orthopedic case, depending on where your clinic is, you're going to have to refer them. And that's unfortunate. From an employer base, I want to keep as many of those clinic cases in as possible. It's revenue. It's your client. You want them in your hospital where they know you, trust you, are loyal. That's sometimes not possible. And by blocking ahead of time, we're discussing this last month at Bridgeland, you give your employees a little bit of a sense of relief. A big breath. Excellent. The employer understands that it's going to be more of a skeleton crew, especially in that week between Christmas and New Year's. I don't have to feel stressed as much about what's going to be coming through the door and the expectations from my employer that I need to see it all. Because that leads to exactly what you described, opportunity cost issues. So that'd be the first point.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep. I like how it wraps together.
Yeah.
The second one I would follow up before you go into your second story, which is really great, is I'm used to more of a larger clinic size, but now with Mosaic, we've got everything in between one doctor to five. So you're never going to make everybody happy. I think that's one of the number one rules of leadership and in time and in, as an employer in the veterinary space is there is rarely the time where you're going to be able to meet everybody's needs, especially at a time of Christmas when, again, depending on the individual, there's some individuals that could care less about Christmas. They want to work all they can. Kudos to them. And there's other individuals that want to work as least amount as possible during that time. Understanding from an employer base right off the start, do not have the expectation to make everybody happy. And when you try and do that, you make no one happy.
Yeah. And I think not to, I guess we'll introduce, like, there's almost maybe three relationships at play, you know? So using my example, there was the vet and another vet. So different sort of shifts of staff, but then there's also the business, right? And I know it's easy for us, like the business isn't emotional, but the business still has to survive, right? Like, you know what? One of our good friends in the vet space always talks about the business. The business has a seat at the table. Like in his case, it's like a family business, like around the dinner table. Because if you don't take care of it and it's not there for you, then none of us are employed. You know, and it's easy to lose sight of that. And this isn't me trying to be like, profits are everything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, but you can't kill the golden goose.
I'll give you the perfect example of that this year. This year, Christmas and New Year's both fall on Saturdays, which means that you're going to have to make up those dates as an employer. We all know this on different times. And so we had multiple discussions is, do we have those on the same week, i.e. on the 27th, which is the Monday after Boxing Day? And then do we close the Friday in advance of New Year's? Then that only allows you 3 days with your clients in a busy time between Christmas and New Year's. Well, we can't do that. And then we had some clinics that said, well, can we close between Christmas and New Year's? To the business at the table comment, we can't do that either. Because then you have almost 7 days, if not eight, because of the stat holiday this year falling where it does, where you don't have any client service. Well, your clients are going to go elsewhere. You don't have time for that.
Yeah. And it's important to, you know, realize that, like, we're dealing with living things, which is obvious, but it's like, it's not like, say, we're a bookkeeping service where we can take a week off and we'll just do your books next week and they'll be waiting for us. That's no problem, right?
That's like, correct.
When you say you can't have 7 days completely closed because a lot can happen with certain cases in 7 days.
Well, that's correct. And especially in this day and age where we're both in a shortage. And we're booking out, you know, already right now, we're booking out into that January time period. Well, you're closed 7 days. It's just not possible. So there is some of that piece that has to be, as you, I really like how you describe that. The business has to also be at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one last thing I'll say on the not keeping everyone happy. One thing me and the other associate vets would often do is, you know, sort of draft out comparable holidays. So July long is comparable to August long. So you can have one of them, but you can't have both, right? Christmas is comparable to Thanksgiving. You can have one, but you can't have both. And then next year we'll switch, right? If I had Christmas this year, I'll have Thanksgiving next year and vice versa.
And did you have that in all of your different clinics that you worked at?
I would think most of them. So my first clinic, we were fortunate in that there was like six or seven vets. So the rotation, you know, was way more spread out. Like you're only hitting Christmas every once in a while. But the other clinics I worked at were smaller number of veterinarians where it was more of that, like, okay, you're going to be either working Christmas or New Year's, right? Like which one do we want? And then the same, like at least we're up here in Saskatoon, like summer is very coveted. So, you know, July long and August long are important weekends because there's just not many long, hot summer weekends. So we would always try to divide those up. Like you just can't have both and the other person gets none.
Yeah. Excellent. I think you bring up a great point here in terms of your experience with that changing of years or changing of holidays. And we were describing this in the pre-recording. I see a number of different ways that employers go about this, both consciously and unconsciously, depending on who's in the clinic. The first is exactly as you describe, which I think is the best way, is communication around changing of years and changing of dates. And there's sometimes that you're going to win on those dates and sometimes that you're not. I also see the other version of seniority, where the longer you're at that practice, the better chance you're going to have it, the better coveted vacations. I'm not a fan of that at all, because I think it really breeds resentment over time. And in my view, that's not a culture that you want to grow. And it's an inevitability, because the new people in just feel shat on. It's not good. The third is first to the post. Who gets in their time off request first? This is the easiest non-conscious way of dealing with holidays, which again, I don't like either. Oh, get your vacation requested in July for Christmas and you're looked after. And there's people that will do that and then screw everybody else on the team. And as management, I've seen this, if the managers are putting their head in the sand, like, nope, they got their time off request in first, they win. And every year it's the same thing. Again, resentment builds, people go elsewhere. And in this time of veterinary shortage, I don't recommend that at all, but I see it. And then the lastly is communication. The way you've described it, Mike, let's sit down at the table, talk about this starting in September, understand where we are in terms of the number of stat holidays that are available so we can best set it up. And there's where somebody in your organization has to understand what stat holiday pay actually looks like, so that when the vets, the support team are walking through it, everybody feels as balanced as possible. And feels is a strong word. Feels compared to reality can sometimes be two different things.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where, you know, unlike this episode where we kind of just thought of it and we're throwing, put it out a little bit too late, this really should be planned very early in the year. And like what we would do is we'd always look at, you know, all the stats on the calendar. You have the one of those from the drug companies, you get the whole calendar where it shows you the whole year, you know, and it was almost like a bit of a draft where, and then, you know, if someone had, say, a wedding on July long, then it's like, okay, well, I'll take July, you take August. That's easy. You know, it's give and take. But the point is you got to look in advance and communicate clearly.
Agreed. Communication, communication, communication. Now, Mike, tell me about the other story that you described, which I think is fantastic.
Flipping it on its head, or sort of different perspective, because in some ways, working the Christmas holidays was always pretty awesome because everyone is in a better mood. You know, I noticed that when I would work Saturdays as well. Like, people are coming in with their coffee, they're more relaxed, they're not squeezing the vet appointment in on their like half hour break from work that they said, I got to run my dog to the vet, and they're stressed. On Saturdays, they're relaxed. Same as the Christmas holiday. I mean, obviously emergencies are still stressful, but they're just in a bit of a better mood. And so it reminded me of Cal Tire. So Cal Tire, a tire store, nothing to do with veterinary medicine. But anytime I have tire problems, a nail in my tire, a flat tire, last minute, I go to Cal Tire. And they always treat me so well and like deal with it quickly. Lots of times they don't even charge, like something where it's like, oh, it was just a nail. We pulled it out. We fixed it. You're on your way. What that does is anytime I need to buy new tires, I don't even think about going anywhere else. I just go straight there. They sell me new tires and away we go. So we are bonded, right? And that it's the same thing in veterinary medicine. When you see a client, you know, over the holidays, the client knows, they know that you would rather be home with your family, right? Everyone would rather be home with their family, but they're a bit stressed about, you know, maybe it's even just an ear infection, but it's happening on Christmas Eve. And they're like, man, I really want it taken care of before Christmas. And they come in, you take care of that. Even if they don't say it, they notice it and they're grateful. And I've always found it to be quite a bonding experience. You know, it's like, I think in Home Alone, they say, you know, good deeds count double, you know, over the holidays. And it's like, it seems to be true in veterinary medicine as well.
Love it, Mike. Couldn't add anything more to it. And you could see your face lighten up when you're talking about those bonding events. And it is so true. It's a fun time of the year. Looking forward to it. We are just getting all of our goodies ready for our decorations and set up for it. And Christmas is fun. And Christmas is a great way, just as you've described, to really create loyalty when done well. So from a standpoint of operations, I hope we've helped individuals out today in trying to understand from both the employee as well as the employer perspective. Again, this is varies depending on where you're from, what that looks like. We didn't even get into the religious and the background on that part. We'll leave that for a different discussion.
In my opinion, this discussion has nothing to do with religion, because you can insert any holiday you want in this discussion, right?
To a degree. I just think this period of Christmas, New Year's, and around, as we talked about at the start, there's a heightened sense of awareness. There's a heightened sense of stress, so to say, if it is not looked after correctly. Yep. Excellent. Well, everyone, have a great rest of your day. Hope you enjoyed joining us for the Veterinary Project podcast. Go check out our website. Changes coming in the new year with the Veterinary Project. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please shared the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.